bottom line, you can't take your stuff with you, but you can take people. And so storing up treasure in heaven means leveraging your time, talent, and yes, your treasure, so that more people know Christ, grow in Christ, and are with Christ forever. And Jesus is flipping our view of treasure completely upside down. Here's what he's saying, and I hope this sticks with you. In the world, we use people to get treasure. Unfortunately, that's how we do it. But in the church, we use treasure to get people. Maybe you feel like you don't really have a lot of money or stuff to share. But here's my point. All of us, rich or poor, have a biblical obligation to invest in spiritual relationships, to invest in the spiritual lives and the spiritual growth of others. You might not have cash to make some crazy investment opportunity, but let me tell you about some really good investment opportunities that I know you have, a relationship you can build with a younger believer. You can make Christ the center of your marriage and not just the center of your wedding day. You can parent your children in a way that aims for not just having good kids, but actually godly kids who know and love Jesus. Even if you're flat broke, you can make a big difference for Jesus. When you invite people to church and you share the gospel with friends and you pray for coworkers and family members and you make time for life-giving, Christ-centered relationships. Because remember this truth, people are the only treasure you can take with you into eternity.
Amen. Would you stand with us? We are going to go over our vision statement as a church, as individuals, and then we're going to get right into worship. So, would you read this with me? We desire to be a safe place to be in process, a place where everyone realizes they are in process. None of us have arrived. And I am not sure what's going on with the lights in the video. There we go. All right. Hey. So this is a place, honestly, you don't have to have it all together. The lights are really distracting me right now. Okay, there we go. Lights, stay. Okay. This is a place where you don't have to have it all together. You can come in and say, because none of us do, right? We're seeking after God. He gives us his grace. This is a safe place to just admit that. But it's also a place where nobody gets to a point where they're like, oh, I've got it all figured out. Because trust me, you don't. that's actually really not a... I'm not going to get into that. Let's just not be that way. And let's just accept that we don't have it all figured out and we're seeking after Christ. But let's pray and let's get into worship, because God is worthy of every song, every breath, every lyric we could ever sing. So, Lord, we just invite you here. God, I pray that as we sing to you, as the song says, we are here for you. We are welcoming you into this place. Lord, we want to meet with the creator of the universe, and that's you. So come and meet with us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's sing.
Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. 'Cause we are here for you. We are here.
could not be enough. It's not lost on me what you saved me from. I'm running, stumbling, I know, but I'm coming to give you this offering. My worship I'll never withhold. Broken, but you call it beautiful. Where the tears of the desperate meet the feet of the Savior, nothing I wouldn't offer. There's no waste at the altar. Where the heart of surrender meets the hands of the Maker, nothing couldn't come close to your presence. Grace upon grace, what could measure? No, nothing could measure. And I'm returning, hold back to the one I am running to give him my love, 'cause he took a sinner like me. Wash me with grace and then set me free. Oh, where the tears of the desperate reach the feet of the Savior, nothing I wouldn't offer. There's no
no waste at the
There's no waste at the altar. Lay it all down, lay it all down. Lay it all down, lay it all down. Lay it all down, lay it all down. There's no waste at the altar.
To you. We bring all of our hopes, all of our fears, all of our life to you, God. And we leave it at the altar because you can use anything. You can work all things for good. And you meet us right where we're at. We thank you, Lord.
There was a moment when the lights went out, when death had claimed its victory. The King of Love had given up his life, the darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners, for every curse is blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished, but not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens roared? All hail, King Jesus. All hail, the Lord. The same.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Did you know that one of the things Jesus talked the most about was the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? And what does that mean? The kingdom of God represents the rule and reign of Christ. So the kingdom of God has come in your heart if Christ rules and reigns in your heart. Lord, today we've come to just declare that you are the king of our heart. Your word says that if we seek you first and your kingdom and your righteousness, all these other things will be given to us as well. Lord, forgive us when we try to take over the throne, when we try to be the king. Lord, we know it just ends in heartache and broken dreams and broken homes and broken lives. And Lord, today we've come to, again, just surrender to you as the king of our heart, the king of this church, the king of our community and our country and our nation. Lord, thank you. And I pray that each and every one of us would just come more and more under your rule and reign. Your word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Lord, you never said that we'd understand everything, but you said that we're to trust you. And then in verse 8, it says, this will be health to your body. So God, thank you that this is good for our physical self. This is good for our whole being, is to just trust you and surrender our lives over to you. We love you, Jesus. Would you please be seated in a spirit of prayer as we go into prayer time? And today we're studying the story of the woman at the well. And our prayers are based on that. So in John chapter 4, Verse 13, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Let us pray. Lord, we confess that we often look for satisfaction in money, pleasure, and the things of this world. Help us turn to you, the only one who can truly satisfy our thirsty souls. Let us pray. In Jeremiah 2:13, "My people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Let us pray. Father, forgive us for chasing the broken wells of this world that can never truly satisfy us. Teach us to drink deeply from your living water so our hearts can be full in you. Let us pray. John 4:23 and 24, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." Let us pray. God, help us to worship you with sincere hearts and according to your truth. Fill our lives with your living water so others may see you and come to know you too. Let us pray. In John 4:28, "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?'" Let us pray. Lord, give us the same courage the woman had to invite others to come and see Jesus. Help us to fill the open chairs by sharing your living water with our friends, our neighbors, and our family. Let us pray. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to now watch the CCC News.
Well, good morning, CCC family. I'm your youth pastor, Pastor Owen, and I would just like to say, welcome to church. If this is your first, second, or third time coming to CCC, you'll be handed a Connect card on your way into the service. If you could just fill that out and turn that back into the welcome desk, you'll be given a mug with some awesome gifts inside. We're a very relational church, and we would just love the opportunity to get to know you, because you are here on purpose, because God has a purpose for you. Come on, somebody, that'll preach. But let's get into the announcement. So coming up, if you've recently had a baby or you plan on having a baby, our next baby dedication will be March 22nd. So if you'd like to dedicate your baby to the church and just let the church body come behind you and support you, that will be March 22nd. Also, Baja is coming up. We are a very missions-minded church, and we just love sending groups all around the world to just impact the world for God's glory. And our Baja trip is coming up, but the signups are due April 1st. No, it's not April Fool's. The Baja signups are due April 1st. So if you're interested, get signed up. It's going to be incredible. Let's go. Also, coming up is Easter. So we have our Easter package coming up. So on April 1st, sadly, we will not be having our Wednesday nights. Kids, youth, adults, no Wednesday night groups are meeting on April 1st. Again, not April Fool's. Also, we have our Monday, Thursday. That will be April 2nd at 6:30, that service. We have our Good Friday service on April 3rd. That will be at 6:30 as well. And then on Sunday, we will be having a 7:30, a 9 o'clock, and a 10:30 service. So you have three services to pick from. Hope to see you guys there. Let's go. It's going to be so good. Early, mid, let's go. Easter Sunday. Also, you guys, keep your eyes on the screen as you meet our new team member. Luke 2:52 says, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Let that be our prayer for 2026, to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Love you guys. Let's have a great Sunday. Remember, keep your eyes on the screen. Meet our new staff member. Let's go.
Good morning. My name is Kirsten. I am the new administrative assistant here at CCC, and I'm very excited to join the team. And I thank you all for letting me be a part of this amazing, beautiful community.
Good morning, church. My name is Dan, and I'm with Men's Alliance. I am the tribe leader of Omega Tribe that is going to be meeting right here at CCC every Thursday, 7 p.m. out by the fire pit. Rain or shine. What is Men's Alliance? Check out this video.
Our motto is tribal, rugged, real, right? And what that means is we're tribal because isolation is terminal. So Men's Alliance exists to bring men out of isolation, out of their homes, close your laptops, and come join a tribe, right? And then rugged, because we want to get out of our comfort zones. Men today are just dying in comfort. We're the most comfortable society that's ever lived. And so we bring men out of their comfort zones physically and spiritually. And then real is the last part of our motto, because this is the kind of a group where you don't answer fine when somebody asks you how your day is going, right? We don't pretend we've got it all together at Men's Alliance. So that's why our motto is tribal, rugged, and real.
I spent a lot of time in the military, and I really enjoyed that bond with a bunch of brothers that were doing similar things and kind of in it together. Men's Alliance is absolutely the epitome of being in it together. We have a creed, and part of that creed is, I'm a common man with an uncommon desire to succeed. That's so true, but it has nothing to do with, oh, I'm going to go and get a promotion at work and I'm going to make more money. It means I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better teammate at work. I'm going to be a better son. I'm going to be a better man, and I'm going to absolutely be, or try to be, the man that God has wants me to be. With an uncommon desire to succeed.
Hearing some of the struggles that they deal with just helps carry me through a lot of the stuff that I'm walking through in life.
Awesome. So excited about that ministry. A couple of things. First of all, Owen said you dedicate the children to the church. You're not doing that. You're dedicating them to the Lord. So just wanted to be clear about that. I know that was a misspoke. Also, in the second service, we're going to be inducting three people into membership, Randy and Nadine Langworthy and Claudette McIntyre. So just wanted to let you know about that. Exciting news. Would you please stand and greet those around you and welcome them to church today? everyone get enough sleep last night? I don't know if any of you can relate to this, but the older I get, and I'm pretty old, it seems like I wake up earlier. Can anyone relate to that? So actually last night I woke up and it was the right time to get up, and I'm like, praise God. So I actually feel pretty good today. So hopefully that'll help. But if you didn't get enough sleep, may this sermon bless you with good sleep. So every heart is thirsty. The question is not if you're thirsty. The question is, where are you going to drink? Some people try money, relationships, success, pleasure. But like the old song says, many climb the highest mountain, and yet the cry of their heart is, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Now, many years ago, there was a song by U2 called I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. How many of you have ever heard of that song? You know, most of us have, yeah. And it goes like this. I've climbed the highest mountain, I've run through the fields, only to be with you, only to be with you. I've run, I've crawled, I've scaled these city walls, only to be with you. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And maybe today you're out there and you can relate. You've followed the plan that our world gives us, you know, the American dream. You've followed that plan, and maybe you've been really successful in that world, and yet there's something in your heart saying, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And today my message to you is very clear, and if you don't get anything else out of this message, I hope you get this. You were made to drink from a different well. You were made to drink from a different well. Now, in John chapter 4, Jesus meets a woman who had been drinking from the wrong well. Now, he meets her at an ancient well, and that kind of would have been like us going to the grocery store to get bottled water. She was at this well to get water. Now, what's interesting is that she was there at noon. Now, this was the hottest time of the day. Most women would have went at night or in the morning. They didn't go at noon. It was too hot. So around noon, they would have been, you know, most women would have been eating lunch. They would have been taking a nap. They would have been seeking shade. But here was this woman, this Samaritan woman, who came to the well at noon. Why? To avoid people. She was kind of like an outcast. And then all of a sudden, she hears someone say, can you give me something to drink? And she probably looked and she's like, whoa. A Jewish man named Jesus had talked to her. Now, first of all, you need to understand that the Jews and the Samaritans back in this culture despised one another. In fact, a strict Jew would have walked around, even if it was inconvenient, would have gone out of their way to avoid Samaria. And yet, here was this Samaritan man speaking to her. And she's probably like... And the other thing is that back in this culture, a man did not speak to a woman in public unless he was related to her. And she's like, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? And then Jesus, this Jewish man, said to her these amazing words. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is you ask for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, everyone who drinks this water, he's talking about earthly water, will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, if you don't get anything else out of this message today, I hope you get this. You were made to drink from a different well, the well of living water. So Jesus says to her, go call your husband and come back. She said, I have no husband. He's like, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the guy you're with now is not your husband. Now, back in that culture, that would have really been looked down upon. Now, what's happening here? Jesus is pointing out that this woman was looking for satisfaction in the wrong places. She was trying to meet that deep hunger in her heart through men. She had had five husbands, and the guy she was with now was not her husband. And Jesus is just trying to gently ask her to think about where she has been turning to try to quench that inner thirst. And here's the uncomfortable question of the morning. Where have you been going to try to quench that thirst? What have you been turning to? You know, I think of John D. Rockefeller. Someone once asked him, how much money would it take to make you happy? And he said, just a little more. Maybe it's relationship. Maybe it's materialism. Maybe it's money, achievement. Where are you looking? Now, in Jeremiah 2:13, it says, my people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cistern, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Now, Jeremiah is basically saying that the people had this pure, living, life-giving water available to them, the Lord, but here they were instead drinking the soiled, dirty water of this world. And if ever there's a message that depicts our culture, it's the one I'm speaking today. There's that old song, looking for love in all the wrong places. And that's the temptation. The devil will always try to get us to leave the spring of living water and try this other stuff that in the end might be tasteful, but lead to broken lives, broken homes, and broken dreams. See, you were made to drink from a different well. Are you listening? Say amen. So what I'm about to speak now is, I think, very important, is that how do we as followers of Christ look at someone who's maybe living an immoral lifestyle? Think about someone in your life that maybe they're living a lifestyle. You're like, wow, that's not a very godly lifestyle. Man, that's very immoral. And sometimes as Christians, we can have a very condemning attitude. It's kind of like, Lord, help me to forgive those who sin differently than me. You know, we can look at those that are living a lifestyle that is immoral, and we can have bad judgment towards them. We can judge them. What if instead our attitude was, they're thirsty? They're just looking to quench that thirst in the wrong place. In fact, there's a sentence in this text that I think is so powerful. It says, he had to pass through Samaria. Now, this was Jesus. He had to. And I think this shows the heart of our Lord, that he's like, there is a lost soul in Samaria, and I have to go and share the living water with her. Imagine if that was our attitude as followers of Christ, that we were willing to even go to our enemies, and that we were willing to just break social culture norms and all that stuff. But imagine if instead of looking at immoral people and condemning them in our mind and being self-righteous and arrogant, what if instead our attitude was, they're thirsty, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do. I am compelled by the love of Christ to go and share the living water with them. So one of my great memories growing up is, so I lived on a farm south of Casson, and often when we would come home, one of the things my dad would do is he would make us these little like snacks. And usually like it was in like a sandwich bag. There would be like cookies, and then he'd put the Twister thing around it, and then he'd have like a can of Pepsi. And then in front of all these treats, he'd have like a 3x5 card with our name on it. You know, so it was us three brothers, and we all got the same thing. But he would put our name tags in front of it, and we'd come home, and that's just a great memory I have of my dad. Well, a few years back, my parents stayed with us for an extended period of time, like 3 months, and my dad did the same thing with our kids, as he'd leave out these snacks. So I can only imagine what my kids thought when one day they looked, and it was one of those soap pods. Do you know what goes in the dishwasher? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? So they came home and there was the treats, and one of them was that one of those soap pods. And they're like, "Grandpa, what is this?" Well, he thought it was a new candy bar or something. So he didn't realize that it was, you know, like a soap thing or whatever. So, you know, they're like, "Are we in trouble? You know, soap in our mouth?" Dad does that once in a while. But you know, imagine if they would have eaten that. They wouldn't have been satisfied, right? And that's a great illustration of what happens in our culture, is that many people are eating and drinking from sources that are dirty, from sources that are impure, from sources that they may taste good at the moment. Oh yes, there is a season of pleasure in sin. The Bible says that. There's a season of pleasure in sin, but then the reality sets in and it's very dangerous. And where have I been drinking from the wrong source? Where have we been searching for love in the wrong places? And Jesus says, whoever drinks this water I give them will never thirst. Never thirst. Now, the water that Jesus is speaking of is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit living within us. And what we learn from this story is that the thing that your heart has been searching all these years for, the thing that your heart has been searching, is not a thing. It's a person. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. C.S. Lewis, the former atheist who became a Christian, said, "God made us, invented us as a man invented an engine. A car was made to run on petrol, and it would not run properly on anything else. God designed our human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That is why it's no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering with faith. God cannot give us a happiness and a peace apart from himself, because it is not there." You know, Jesus said in John 4:14, "But whoever drinks this water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Did you see this? That this water, the Holy Spirit, that the Lord gives us, doesn't just bless us here on earth, but it follows into eternity. What are we learning today? I think it was Augustine in his book, The Confessions. He said, "You've made us for yourself, Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. You were made to drink from a different well than our culture is teaching. Our culture is teaching us, you know, the satisfaction is found in this, and this, and this, and this. Everything but God, right? Those broken cisterns. All right. So if true satisfaction comes from worshiping Jesus, how do we worship the Lord effectively? What does it mean to worship the Lord effectively? Well, Jesus said, "A time is coming, has now come, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." Now, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So notice that we're to worship the Lord. We're to, and that goes beyond just singing songs to him. That's a relationship with the Lord. In him we move and have our being. It's abiding in Christ. It's an everyday conversation and walk with the Lord. But notice that Jesus says that when we worship, it needs to be in spirit and in truth. Now, what does it mean to worship the Lord in spirit? Well, the Jewish people had kind of reduced worship to kind of outward forms and ceremonies. They would bow to the ground, but their heart was somewhere else. In other words, it was just kind of like a rote duty. It was just kind of going through the motions. And what Jesus says here is that when we worship the Lord, he wants our hearts to be in it. He wants our hearts to be sincere. I remember when I was in sports in high school, our coaches would say, "Put your heart into it. Don't just go to, does anyone know what I'm talking about? And that's what it means to worship the Lord in spirit. It's not just going through the motions. It's our hearts are in it. And notice he then says, worship the Lord in truth. Now, the Samaritans had a form of worship, but it was false. It wasn't based on scriptural authority. So we need to make sure that our worship aligns with God's word. So what's interesting is that when Jesus said, worship the Lord in spirit and truth, he's actually rebuking the Jews and the Samaritans. And he wants them and he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And here's the good news. When we worship the Lord, John 6:63 says, the Spirit gives life. I love that verse. If you haven't memorized it, it's such an amazing verse. The Spirit gives life. That when we worship the Lord in spirit and truth, I believe there's like a divine, something's happening, and the Lord is pouring into us his divine life. Now, one of my role models, many of you know this, was the late Billy Graham, and I just appreciated his humility, his integrity, his commitment to the Bible. And I remember reading an article once where they asked him, you know, why was your ministry so successful? And this is what he said. He said, first of all, I prayed without ceasing. You know, there's a verse that says, pray without ceasing. So he trained himself to not just pray, you know, at church on Sundays or just pray in the devotion. He literally would just try to carry on a conversation with the Lord throughout his day. The second thing he said was he talked about how he was continually ingesting the Word of God. And one of the ways he would do this, because he traveled a lot, and one of the ways he would do this is when he was like in a hotel room, he'd always have an open Bible out. And it was just a symbol that when he walked by it, and he would just kind of take in, even if it was a little bit. And I kind of liken it this. Remember when people used to drink from water fountains? Remember those days? I think we actually have one in that side of the building, way over there. But you guys remember that? Like you'd be walking by and there's a water fountain and you'd stop and drink. And that's kind of how he'd see the Bible, is he'd be walking by, oh, there's a Bible, I got to take a drink. And it's interesting to me that he attributed those two things to his effectiveness in ministry. And what are those things? They're really about just connecting with the living water and having the Lord pour his spirit into us. And if you don't get anything else, I hope you get this. You were made to drink from a different well. When you leave this building, everything is going to say to you, drink in these all these other places. No, you were made to drink from the living water. Now, what to me is amazing is that the transformation that happens in this woman. Again, this was the woman who they probably talked about at Hy-Vee. You know, there she is, you know, the one that's had five husbands. And man, she's kind of dressed immodest today. And she just wants the attention of the men. And this was the one that had the reputation. And this was the one that came to the well to avoid people. And yet, she went back to town and said, come and see. Come and see this man who told me everything I ever did. And this woman who at one time avoided people started inviting people. And that's what the living water does. That when you've tasted the living water, there's a part of you that will just have to say to others, come and see. Now, one of the things we've been talking about all year is the open chairs. And this represents the open chairs in our church. It represents the open chairs in heaven. And really, it's about having that experience with the Lord where we follow the example of this woman. Could you imagine if all of us left here today and just was like, wow, I got to have others come and drink from the living waters. I want to tell my neighbors, I want to tell my coworkers, I want to tell my family, man, you got to come and experience Jesus. Let's not let the world's greatest gift become the world's greatest secret. And by the way, we have an amazing opportunity coming up in a few weeks. It's called Easter. And did you know many people this time of year, it's the, like Christmas and Easter are the times when people who don't normally go to church, they're open to be invited. And I just want to encourage you to just take a moment and pray. Who is someone in your life? And maybe it's more than one person. This woman like told the whole town that the Lord wants you to invite to come and experience the living water. Now look what happened. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of this woman's testimony. Everything, he told me everything I did. Wow. Talk about a transformation. Now, why was she such an effective witness? Why was her testimony so effective? Many people from the town, could you imagine that being said about you? That, wow, many people have come to faith in Christ. Many people have come to the church family because of your testimony. What did she do that made her such an effective evangelist? Well, someone has said that she talked to Jesus 6 times and then she invited them. And talking to Jesus, another word for that is prayer. Right? So we need to make sure that our evangelism is bathed in prayer. We need to make sure that our witnessing and testimony is talk to God before you talk to someone else. In other words, she talked with the Lord, and through that, the Lord helped her. But here's what I want us to think about today. Imagine if our message to this community was come and enjoy the living water of Jesus with us. Come and see the one who brought satisfaction to my heart. Now, how many of you have ever been to Waldrug? Anyone ever been to Waldrug? I actually made it this summer. I went there. I mean, I went there. I did. And, I'd seen some billboards over the years, and I finally went there. And the thing that I liked best about Waldrug, are you listening? Say amen. Here's the thing that intrigued me the most was the story behind it. And in 1930, Waldrug's was a small, struggling pharmacy in this small town of Wall, South Dakota. Business was slow, and the owners, Ted and Dorothy Husted, wondered if they were going to even keep the doors open. But one hot summer day in 1936, Dorothy had an idea. What if we give free ice water to the travelers who are traveling across the prairie? And they set up signs that said, free ice water at Waldrug. Well, thirsty people would stop, and then they would buy food and souvenirs and supplies, and word began to spread quickly. And now it's become this famous roadside destination. Yeah, I was envisioning this week, what if we became the Waldrug of this area? We're offering the greatest gift in the world, the living water of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about it. Our community is thirsty. And what if we had that attitude when we see someone living an immoral lifestyle? When we see what if we didn't condemn them? Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I don't know about you, but I want to have a ministry like Jesus. He said, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. What if we had a spirit like Jesus, and we just offered the living water? What if our attitude was, come and drink. Come and see the one who satisfies the soul. Because Jesus said, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. See, you and I were made to drink from a different well, the well of living water. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for allowing us to be here today. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this message today that helps us to just examine our heart and ask the question, have we bought into the world's plan? Have we bought into the plan that we're to find satisfaction in all these other places? God, forgive us for those moments when we drink from the broken cisterns of this world. Lord, thank you that yesterday ended last night. Thank you that today is a new day. You know, maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart today, and the Holy Spirit has revealed some dirty places you're drinking from. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's flirting with someone and you're married. Maybe it's other things like materialism. Maybe it's money. What? The purpose of our messages is never condemnation. It's redemption. But notice how Jesus said, you're right, you've had five husbands, and the one you're... In other words, he had to come get her to the point where she acknowledged the truth. And that's what confession is. Confession is, Lord, I've been looking for love in the wrong places. And maybe that's you today. And I just want to encourage you today to talk to the Lord. Confess to him, Lord, I'm thirsty and I've been drinking in the wrong place. Please satisfy the hungers of my heart. Take away this desire for the broken cisterns. Take away the desire for the things that dishonor you. God, I pray also for those of us who are followers of you. God, I pray that we would get out of the Christian bubble. I pray that we would develop relationships with people who are not Christians. Why? So that we can invite them to the well. God, I pray for a fire to be lit in our spirits, that we have this high and holy mission, like this woman, to go into our towns and invite people to have the same relationship with you that we have. God, I just pray that you would spark in our church family a desire to reach your lost children. God, just please give us a greater desire to reach your lost children by inviting them to come to the family, by inviting them into a relationship with you. God, I just pray that this would be like a spiritual wall drug, that folks would know that there is free grace. There's free living water. It's costly grace, because it cost you your life, Jesus. And it doesn't mean we just live any way we want, but it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest anyone boast. So Lord, today we've come to say, as of today, starting now, we're going to drink from that different water, that well of living water, that Holy Spirit. We're going to pray without ceasing. We're going to read your word. We're going to all day long, and then we're going to invite others to come and join us. We love you, Lord. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We're going to now worship the Lord through our tithes and offerings. In James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for every good thing we have, because we know it all comes from you. Help us to remember that we are not the source of all of our blessings, but grateful receivers of your grace. Teach us to give with open hands and trusting hearts. Remind us that you often provide through people in our lives, our families, our coworkers, our friends, and even those we serve. As we give, grow our faith and help us to trust that you are our true provider. May our generosity honor you and reflect our gratitude for all you've given us. We ask this in your name. Amen. So the ushers are going to come in a few moments to receive your tithes and offerings. We have ways that you can give digitally. Thank you so much for your generosity.
Of his mercy, as he cries.
stand with me, please?
Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As He cries out,
God, we've come to taste and see that You are good. We've come to feast on the abundance of Your house and drink from the rivers of Your delight. And may we find such satisfaction in You that we can't help but invite others to join us at the table. Lord, make us aware when we're drinking from dirty wells. God, thank You for Your grace to help us get back on track. Lord Jesus, also just I pray that we wouldn't keep this to ourselves, but we would be like this woman who goes into town and says, hey, you got to come see this man who changed my life. God, I just pray that You would raise up, even if it's two or three people in the congregation, to just have that passion to tell others about Jesus. And may we be just an area where folks can come and experience Your grace and Your living waters. Well, friend, we'll have friends up here to pray with you if you would like someone to pray with you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Now may you go in the grace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Have a great week.